The Reckoning. Chapter 14. Officer David Cate sat reading over a six-month-old newspaper that was brought from Earth on one of the searchers' excursions. He lifted his coffee mug to his lips as he grinned at the Tigers' victory over the Mets. An avid sports fan, he didn't care who won or lost. He just enjoys the sport itself. Then the voice came over the loudspeaker to break his concentration. Security Chief Cate, please assemble your team and report to Docking Bay 15 armed. Cate looked up. This had never happened before. At first, he thought it was possibly a drill. But why? They had not come across any hostiles in months. Well, since he had joined the mothership, there had never been any attack by hostiles. Officer Cate was once a highly decorated military man. He helped fight off the invaders in and around the former island of New York, where he was stationed. His homeland was in the upper east part of Tennessee. In fact, the one thing he missed the most was the mountainous skyline. He hated being stuck on the ship with very little to do. He spent most of his days in the gym that Sergeant Kind had built. He neatly folded his paper and laid it on the round oak table that sat in the corner of the mess hall. He swallowed the last of his chilled coffee before standing to his feet. He still wore fatigues that he had used during his military days. This had better not be a drill, he thought to himself as he walked through the doorway and into the corridor that led to the docking areas. Chief, is this a drill or what? Asked the tall, stout, dark man as he approached Officer Cate. You know as much as I do at this point, Pete. You got your piece with you?
Always,
the ebony man said as he grinned a wide grin, showing a set of brilliant white teeth.
Must be something big going down, came a voice from behind the two security officers.
Both men turned to see another one of their own answering the call to Dock 15.
Why you say that? Asked Pete. Just past Dr. Patel, and he said that they have called him and Connor O'Sullivan to load the non-combatants into the shuttle on Dock 12.
Both Cate and Pete looked to one another.
Well, I guess this isn't a drill, they said in unison.
Aboard the bridge of the mothership, tension was running on high alert. The general looked over his bridge crew.
I want everyone armed.
Sir, I don't believe in guns,
said a meek crew member as she sat in the corner of her small sensor station.
Well, you better start believing, because it might be the only thing that will keep you alive.
How is the progress with the non-combatants? He asked, turning to face Sarita.
It's moving slow, sir,
she said as she watched the video monitor.
Then go down and move things along. We don't know what is going on with the searcher, or if it is in fact carrying hostiles or not. I just don't want to risk everyone's life. And if it is some sort of tech problems, we will bring everyone back. Be sure to tell them.
Yes, sir, but I will be back here,
she said in her usual matter-of-fact manner.
Sir, the searcher is almost in range for complete communications, said the communications officer.
Good. As soon as it is, patch me through.
There she is,
Dwight said as he stood up from his seat.
She is beautiful. What is the plan? Asked Dr. Ross.
You ever hear the tale of the Trojan horse?
Of course.
Well, we are going to fly right in and take over the...
What? That thing is probably loaded with soldiers. And what if we...
It is loaded, and all of you will die,
Sarah said from behind the leader. Dwight turned his gaze toward the lady doctor.
Is that so?
Yes, the commander is as tough as they come, and...
You speak of this Sergeant Kind?
No, the general. He will kill you on sight.
Yes, but he won't kill his own men, will he?
Sarah met the gaze of the narcissistic, devilish Dwight.
If that's what it takes to preserve humanity, he would in a heartbeat. He will kill us all.
I like this general already.
Sir, communications have been opened, said a young man behind a control panel.
Good. Let us hear the words of the wise old general, said Dwight as he flopped back down into his seat.
Searcher, this is the mothership. What is your physical status?
Dwight turned his head to face Sarah. Then he nodded his head as he pointed a pistol at her.
Sorry, General. Our communications have been down. We have just now begun repairing...
Doctor,
Where is Captain Boring?
Well, sir, he...
Sarah's eyes met Dwight's again. There were a million thoughts and scenarios running through her mind. Then she decided to go ahead and cast her fate to the wind.
Captain Boring is dead, and the ship has been hijacked.
The gunshot caused an alarm throughout the bridge. Sarah's head lurched backwards as the .38 caliber tore into her brain. Her body fell limp onto the deck of the ship.
Doctor! Doctor, are you there?
Dwight motioned for his subordinate to cut transmissions.
So much for the Trojan,
Dr. Ross said, still seated. All right, I want you to aim this ship into the bridge of that ship. The one navigating looked up in astonishment.
Sir, will that not kill us all?
Dwight looked over his shoulder to Alan Ross. Well, Mr. Ross, will it kill us?
Well, these ships have several layers of some sort of skin. Once penetrated, they seem to be able to regenerate, so maybe.
Well, that last ship we encountered didn't regenerate, the navigator said. Well, we didn't wait around long enough to see, did we? Once the outer layer is penetrated and the inner layer acts as a force field, I guess depending on the damage, we could survive once the field is in place.
None of that makes any sense, said the navigator.
Dwight looked at the navigator. All right, let's do it. Aim for the weakest part of the ship. They will most likely not let us enter now. Dr. Ross turned back to his controls and let his fingers fly across the panel.
Well, if we come up underneath where the elevator runs, that would shut off all movement and give us a slight advantage.
Yes, then once on the bridge, everyone would essentially be trapped at their stations. I like it.
Are the two of you mad? That is suicide,
said the navigator as every other member standing around the bridge held their breaths. Can you navigate this boat? Dwight asked, looking to Alan. Alan Ross looked into the mad eyes of his leader. He met his steely gaze with his own.
I can do anything, he said coldly.
With that, Dwight turned and shot his navigator in the head.
Sir, what is our next course of action?
Asked Deborah O'Hara as she sat with a visibly shaken look on her face. The general then turned to his navigator. Son, we need to put some distance between them and us until we get all of the civilians off this vessel.
Sir, they have increased their speed.
Are they planning on ramming us? The general asked to no one in particular. Prepare weapons.
But sir, what if our people are still aboard?
Asked the man that was manning the weapons console. The need of many, said the general. Even if they ram us, they are only a quarter of the size of us. What kind of damage could they do?
Depends on where they hit us, said one of the crew members.
Fire when ready, the general said.
They're firing,
Dr. Alan Ross said as he let his fingers loose on the navigation controls. Can you evade them? Asked Dwight as he held tight to the armrest of his seat.
No problem. And if my calculations are correct, and they always are, we need to hit the center of that soft underbelly straight ahead.
What are they doing? Asked the general as he held tight to his chair.
Whoever is flying that thing is very, very good,
said the crew member manning the weapons.
Sir, it looks as though they are maneuvering to position themselves underneath us, said the navigator.
But why could that be so important that, oh Lord, do you think they could...
They could hit us in the center, and that would cripple us,
the navigator added. The searcher was a much smaller vessel. Compared to the mothership, it simply looked like a flea on a Great Dane, which is why it easily avoided the cannon fire that shot the alien lasers at them.
Sir, 1 minute to impact.
Sarita, how is the evac going? Asked the general as he pressed a button on the control of his chair.
Sir, we have 7 ships ready for flight,
came back the voice. All right, Sarita, I want you to take command of that squadron and leave the mothership.
But, sir...
Listen to me. We should be able to handle this situation without you. You need to lead them away. I will contact you when this is over. Take the group as far away from us as possible and go now. There was a moment of silence, and then a reluctant Sarita came back with,
Yes, sir.